live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
O'clock hours here. Getting ready for the NBA Summer League title game, Grizz Heat. Talked a little Grizz with one of the Memphis experts, Rob Fisher, in hour number two. We'll post some of that interview. If you're an NBA fan, you'll enjoy it. And if you're a fan of good radio, you'll enjoy it. Alex White is here from South Point Studios, Griffin, and our Findlay Toyota Studios, and I'm here as well. I was going to mention another studio, but that's it. We got two to pop. Before the end of the show, we'll get back into a little bit of South Point's games of the year. I saw a lot of the big boy bettors were out there trying to move the line. So we'll get a couple of reads on stuff late in the season. And by the way, Alex, as you know, these sheets or on the app, I guess you would screenshot it, these are worth their weight in gold when you're handicapping weeks like 9, 10, 11. Because looking back on what we thought during the summer, late July, early August, it'll ground you a little bit. You know, if all of a sudden, let's see, Auburn, Alabama, depending on how the season goes, right? Right now, Bama opened as a 14-point favorite. If in November, it's on November 30th, if we see like Bama 33,
right,
you might pause a little bit and go, well, wait, unless Auburn's winless, which I don't think they're going to be. But sometimes it's good to jog the memory and look back and go, wait, this game was not supposed to be a massive blowout. Have we really needed to adjust this much come November if it's like 33 instead of 14?
Very interesting you bring up that game because that's very meaningful to me. That's the last game I picked for my contest. It was Auburn, Alabama, and they were getting 22.5, which seems like a great number for a rivalry. 22.5, a lot of points. They Bama won by 22, so barely won that.
Bettors have long memories.
Yep, barely won that one by the hook. That was the last man standing contest.
You made it that far?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She looked at me like, you son of a, don't look surprised. I'm just impressed. That's good.
I won in 2022.
I didn't know that.
College football, yes.
Well, that's going in the, put that up on the video. 2022 winner, last woman standing. Hello. Nothing says expert more than that when the bets are real and they're all. No, don't freaking. There's no blushing.
I'm blushing. No. You knew. I wasn't trying to like.
No, I didn't know. Now I feel shamed.
No, I wasn't trying to like brag and just sneak that in there.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Listen, you know, we had him on all the time. I like Fezzik. You know, he's well-known as a bettor in the area. We were mentioning Kenny White. You know, going back, Kenny was what, a two-time Stardust winner?
That's right, yep.
I was a one-time seventh-place finisher. That's my calling card in the Stardust. No, but in the case of Fezzik, I think he's the only person who's won. He won back-to-back years at Westgate. Just that's nuts. You got to brag
that
about that,
nuts.
These contests.
Well, I mean, the NFL, definitely. Not that, I mean, it was still against the spread and everything, but now that I've jumped in mm-hmm. the Westgate and the Circa contest, I'm like, whew, I still have some work to do there. Because their lines are so good for NFL.
Survivor,
so tough
though.
To beat.
Winner of Survivor.
Yeah, last
All right.
standing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What am I talking gambling for? What? That's, I'm an idiot. Right? No, look at the disrespect from Griffin. Griffin's like, bruh, dial it down with the trying to big brother her. I'm not. She's the expert, okay? I can see it in your eyes, what you're doing to me right now.
Hey, I still have a lot to learn, and I'm okay with that. I'm taking it all in, learning from the best people that I can. And
humble this, humble
it,
that.
Taking it year by year.
Just say how you feel. You're looking at me, you're like, you are a lifetime three parlay winner. That's all I got. I got three parlays my entire existence. I did think, did I say it on the air? Because if they didn't, it doesn't matter. But I did think Team WNBA was going to very much compete with Team USA. You know, Team USA kind of set themselves up for this. This arguing going back to the rationale going back to the selection of the team and leaving off Caitlin Clark and leaving off Angel Reese and then explaining, hey, you know, this is not a popularity contest. We're here to pick the 12 best women and form the best team. And then we started to get into it a little bit. We're like, this isn't really the best team. They got destroyed with, what, 34 points from?
Arike Agumbawale.
Yes.
Who we brought up because Caitlin Clark had such a good game against the Dallas Wings, but we were talking about her and how good she is and what she has done for that team. And
that was, what, that 19-assist game before the break?
It was, yes.
And the Wings are not, they're not good. They're 5-19, but they have one of the best scorers in the league. And Arike is great. And I'm just going to say it. This sport, especially with the money on the way, and good for them, right? Clark and Reese have lifted the league. The other ladies built the base of the thing. They're now going to get a big TV deal. And I've said this about many sports. Be careful what you wish for. Because with TV money, with better ratings, comes better coverage. And that can be good and bad. Why don't we know exactly why? Agumbawale is not on the team. Because all we've heard is she took herself out of consideration and she simply said, too many politics involved with Team USA. What does that mean? And don't tell me, like, exactly what she said. What does it mean? Because it could just be, hey, sour grapes from this lady because she wasn't selected the last two times. She 1,000% is deserving of being on the team. But she elected to go, you know what? I don't want to be part of it because of you guys. So what does that mean?
I don't know.
And that's my point on, let's get other media people involved. I'm not saying, and don't take this in a bad way. I'm not saying that, you know, blogs and Twitter handles and sycophants, don't take this in a bad way. The sycophants part's a shot. But there has to be more experienced media going in there. If this was on the men's side, and Jaylen Brown kind of played this, but it more significantly, if one of the top 12 players in the country pulls his name out of consideration and says too many politics. There's not a deep dive on that to find out, like, what do you mean? Who is it? The director of the team? Is it the coach? Is it one of the players? Diana Taurasi. Who is it? What is it? We don't know.
Right. They just ignored it and said, like, that's not a big deal. Not a story. Nothing. That's very interesting.
I'm backing off the mic to but I'm going to take a breath. If they don't win the gold and this 23-point-per-game scorer is not on the team, and I'll take this as because she essentially got fed up with the nonsense. If there is nonsense, and it sounds like there is, shame on whoever is to blame. But we don't know. So someone's got a deep dive on this.
Isn't it crazy? Now she has won the MVP for this All-Star game both times. Team WNBA has played Team USA.
And they beat them both times. They beat him both times, and she's not on the freaking team, and she claims too many politics. Okay. Okay. We got to get this right. I thought it was put together, the 12 best players.
I do have to say, I mean, injuries, you can't really predict those, right? Well, Breonna Stewart, she missed a couple games going into this All-Star break and kind of trying to get healthy.
Right.
And then Collier, too. Who I was shocked that she actually did play a little bit. Not enough. They
so I'm overreacting on a one-game result.
No.
Yes. If they're not 100%, you're pointing out important factors.
But still, I mean, to your point, having the best 12, I do think that she should be on that team. So getting that right. And you would think after she was MVP, Team WNBA upsets Team USA. She's the MVP. You know, you'd want to make it right this time around. And they obviously didn't try very hard to do that.
I'll risk the ban. Who's the player you would take off the team?
I know.
No, do it.
You're
going to have to risk
part.
A ban. You're not going to games anymore in town. Sorry. By the way, I'm kidding. They're not going to ban anyone. But who should not be on the team?
Okay, let me pull up the roster again. Because I had both of them.
I'm just going to go right to it. Should the point guard be on the team? Chelsea Gray. Look at the look of fear.
Oh, I have a different Aces player.
Oh! Griffin, get the dump machine ready. Thank God we're on 7-second delay. As soon as she says it, if she points to you like, I'm out. No, drop it. A different player. Wait a second. Alex, last week going after broadcast partners, fellow host on ESPN Las Vegas, vicious attacks, was just speaking fact. Okay, so really, you think that – I can never say her name correctly, and I apologize. Agmawali, I'm going to go with that. Arike, who should she be on the team instead of? If she wanted. Who is it?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, come on! Such a buildup! Such drama for WNBA. This is what they love. It's great.
Kelsey Plum.
No! Wait a second. Were you watching on Friday? Get L. Duncan ready. Were you watching on Friday? The carpet, the red carpet? That outfit? I mean, this is basketball related, right? You didn't...
Basketball related.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to make a scurrilous accusation.
No, Kelsey Plum kills it on the red carpet.
She does, yeah. That was a good dress.
Yes.
Good makeup. And I live with a makeup expert, so that's what I lean on. It's not my opinion. It's an expert's opinion. Actually, I lied and run it across her, but I usually, once a week, I'll be like, okay, go ahead and tell me, good or bad.
I love
Why
the
Kelsey
Aces.
Plum?
I think the Aces are very good. I think she's just a little too emotional and a little too frantic on the court. No. Okay.
Really?
I'm gonna stop
joking. Let's do this seriously. So yeah, give me the reason.
You just made me take somebody off if I had to. That's the one.
I made her.
I'm backtracking.
I didn't make you do anything. Really, Kelsey Plum? Wow.
I still think she's a great athlete.
We're just
talking about for Team USA, most deserving.
Wait, do we have the right L. Duncan? Is this the incel comment, or do we need the one that she's sick and tired of the WNBA new fans? Because there's no other angles to talk about. Here's one. Wow,
I thought we weren't supposed to focus on what women.
I don't know which one. Who's going to fire in? Which L. Duncan? Just play whatever.
Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to focus on what women look like. I thought you guys just wanted to be taken serious as athletes, and we're not supposed to focus on you being hot.
So Kelsey Plum, the player. Wow. All right, this will be on blast. Look at Griffin salivating. He's like, chop, chop, chop. Video's going out. Which Aces player doesn't deserve to be on the Olympic team?
Oh,
says Alex White.
Who'd you go with? You said you were asking about Jackie Young or
no? I was
Chelsea
I think
Gray.
Jackie's tremendous. No, I was asking more about Chelsea Gray just from a health standpoint. If she's 100%, and I'm curious to see what Brittany Griner does in the game. I don't believe. I'm gonna back up. I want to see the competition and see if this is gonna be more brawl ball in the Olympics, or could USA just have an advantage by going sleeker and running other teams off the floor. I don't know that you need a power player, because Griner is truly a power player now. She doesn't move as well as she used to.
It's a good point. I think they're going to be fine regardless.
Funny. I heard that about the men a couple weeks ago. Tried to talk everyone onto that ledge.
Yeah,
the ledge of panic where I said, hey, it's not going to be easy.
Do we have some exhibition games coming up here so we can get an idea?
I hope. Well, we just did. They lost.
Probably
against the second best team in the world. Now, that's a good topic. Well, that'll be something we build off of.
That is a good topic.
Could the remaining WNBA All-Stars actually win the gold? Are they the best team in the world? Are we sending our second best team?
No.
Anger.
If these two played 10 times, what would the result be?
I mean, USA, USA, 7-3. I mean, I don't know why I keep saying I mean. More accurate, probably split. Probably split. But this is hard because, and we even said it last week when we were handicapping the game, is the WNBA All-Star team going to play their asses off? Or are they going to lay down a little bit as to not hurt Team USA? Is Team USA going to look at it like, hey, we have certain things to achieve. Winning isn't the top goal. I don't know. I feel like if there was a fist fight For who gets to go to the Olympics, Cheryl Miller might beat up Cheryl Reeve. She was fired up, wasn't she?
Yes.
And then the day before, she's like, $2.2 billion for the new TV deal. Bull crap. Not enough money. So Cheryl was very fired up. Miller.
Yes.
She's 60. That'd be a good fight. I think Reeve is like 53. Griffin's going with Cheryl Miller. The Reggie Miller lineage, could he fight?
I mean, it's interesting.
I wasn't actually asking them to fight.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm still looking at the team and how, if they played 10 times. Because, and even taking somebody off still.
Are you on tomorrow on South Point Studios?
I am.
You got to drop this bomb. Is Parles doing it with you?
Yes.
Drop this bomb on him. Both of them.
All right. I will.
And freaking shred him. Shred him. Will he stand up to a real fight or will he back down?
What do you mean? Who?
If you come out of the gates,
okay,
and you're like, this person off the team and All-Stars would win 7 out of 10.
Ooh.
Does he start backpedaling and scrambling and panicking?
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably just be like, that's a hot take. He probably wouldn't.
I wouldn't even argue with you. Okay.
Yeah, no.
He's afraid. He's afraid. All right, something. The NFL's annoying. I'm just going to say it. I get rules, but I also say rules schmools. Because the NFL enforces rules stringently at certain times, and at other times they're like, what? Didn't say it. No big deal. They don't say that, but they act like it. And I'm going to put it this way. What's happened to the Raiders here with their move of training camp to Costa Mesa and the enforcing of the territory rule, what a bunch of bunk.
Yes.
So the Raiders go down, and they kind of get a little bit of rain on their parade. They're going to go down to Costa Mesa. They're there. And they're not allowed to promote the event. They thought they could get some fans in. They can't have fans in. And the NFL is enforcing this. Well, the Rams and the Chargers have a 75-mile, protected zone around Southern California. So you're competing. You're not allowed to promote the camp. I mean, what's the point? There's 80 billion people living in Southern California. They're at the southernmost spot.
Right.
It's just inconsistency from the NFL. And I have to say it, and I'm not a Raiders fan, but I've seen it over the years. The way the NFL treats the Raiders sometimes, I think, is really disrespectful. And I think they – disrespect Mark Davis.
If it wasn't for the Rams, would they even care? Because we know that they
– Well, I mean –
They treat the Chargers pretty bad, too.
According to the stories, the Chargers and the Rams both said, hey, NFL, what's going on here? You know why? You know why? Because of the LA Raiders. That's why. There's still a history of the Raiders being there. And they don't want it thrown in their face like LA. Raiders town.
Yes.
They don't want it thrown in their face. Do a quick search on a map. Oxnard to Woodland Hills.
So there's actually five teams in California.
That's
right.
That's right. Where are the Saints?
Saints and the Cowboys.
Yep. And the Cowboys have been in Oxnard forever. I don't feel like how far is it? Is it outside 75 miles? No, of course not. How far is it? 37 miles! Okay, we'll have to look into this more. I'm not going to go ballistic on this, but like, I never heard this. Cowboys can't promote things.
Right.
Well, they certainly promoted it when they were on Hard Knocks. Do you think, Will this filter as much, will it reach the level of where, you know, I guess I should go and read Paul Gutierrez's story, but I'm curious to see, and Paul's the ESPN insider for the Raiders. You're not allowed to promote the Raiders in Costa Mesa. This is crazy. Will it go as far as like ESPN folks on TV, or more specifically NFL Network? I'll have to be like real on the down low. Well, they're not going to tell us where they are. Raiders training camp in parts unknown. I think by promote they really mean come out and see the Raiders and, you know,
close
tickets
to
and all this and but.
But it did say something about media too, right?
Oh, that was the other one. That's right. That's right. L.A. and Orange County media, I don't think, can attend. We got to double check this one.
Yes.
Up next, we're going to get another. I was going to say another. We're just starting our series of UNLV football opponent previews. Houston Cougars are in week number one. We'll talk to one of the Cougar insiders here on Cofield & Company.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on Cofield & Company, Steve. Alex White, Griffin's here, running things. I try to be good at geography. I'm not. I was just mapping everything in Southern California because of this Raiders deal now, because they're in Costa Mesa, the Rams, the Chargers, cracked down on them. The NFL's saying you can't promote things, you can't let fans in. All right. Just so you know, the Cowboys officially in Oxnard are 100 miles away from, not the Rams or Chargers, that's the outskirts, the edges of this whole thing in Southern California with five teams there, 100 miles apart. You know another area that every time I go there, I'm like, oh, I can just get around really easily. Yeah, it's a big city, but it's not that big. Yeah, you ever go to Houston and you're like, hey, let me go to this restaurant here. Oh, crap, it's 44 miles away. Joseph Duarte knows H-Town well. UNLV is going to be playing Houston. Joseph, how are you?
I don't know what restaurants you're going to, but I hope they're good for 44 miles.
No, right? No, I was actually mapping. I'm a big food junkie. We do a food blog reaction on the UNLV beat, and I was looking at there was a deli in the Houston area. It's Kenny and Ziggy's. And I was like, where is that near the hotel? Good news for everybody, because everyone cares about what I eat on the road. It's pretty close, so I'm in good shape. Not 44
but no,
miles.
But thanks for having me on. I'm sorry I didn't mean to catch you off there on the food stuff. But, yeah, we're close to football season, aren't we?
Yes. I would talk about the food stuff the entire spot, but we will not do that. We want to know more about the Cougars, because there has been a coaching change. I want to go back before we talk about what's going on right now. With Holgorsen, where was the program? Where did the powers that be feel like he was falling short?
Well, the program was in bad shape. And, you know, you look at, if you rewind just back a couple of years, they're in the American Athletic Conference Championship game against Cincinnati. That's the year Cincinnati went undefeated and made the playoffs. They were in the playoff running, and, you know, first group of five team and all that stuff. But you fast forward after that nice 12-win season by Houston, and it just, things fell apart. And at the same time, he got an extension after that. So, you know, you're on the hook for about $15 million, and he has a couple of bad seasons after that, and they make a change, and they have to go a different direction. But his, you know, Dana's, probably the things that the blows that led to the end for him, you know, he went on his radio show and talked about the lack of recruiting success, that the ship had sailed on the recruiting classes for this past year. And just didn't show any motivation to go out and do the development part. And then, you know, he goes to one of the national websites and says there's no bleeping way that he gets fired, because he's got this impossible buyout and there's no way that they'll pay it. Well, they ended up paying it. Yes. And then you couple that with a really bad first season in the Big 12 and nobody attending games. It was a costly but necessary decision that they made to part ways.
I'm aware of who Willie Fritz is, but for the audience, who is he and how is he advanced at this age? 64 is, you know, pretty old, pretty far down the line to get your first big job, but his path has been really interesting, man. He's coached.
Yeah, this is a guy who, you know, you mentioned his age. It's his first Power 4 job. He's been Central Missouri. We started at Blinn College. He won two national championships, JUCO championships. Had a guy named Michael Bishop as his quarterback, the guy that went and played for Kansas State and had a really successful career in college. Then he goes to places like Central Missouri. He's at Sam Houston, plays for two FCS championships there, and loses both times to North Dakota State. Goes to Georgia Southern. And then the last 8 years, you know, he went and turned around a two-lane program, and that's a tough thing to do based on, you know, their academics and the size of the school, and they were competing in the American Athletic, but he goes in there and has that great comeback against USC in the Cotton Bowl a couple of years ago, and wins a couple of championships in the American, and he's there. And, you know, you look at where you guys are and UNLV, you know, the finalists are at the Barry Odom was someone that Houston really looked at. They were intrigued by him. I was just told as recent as a week ago that if Willie Fritz had fallen through, they were gonna turn to a Barry Odom as a potential successor to Dana Holgorsen. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting that those two coaches are gonna match up in week one. But for Willie Fritz, it will be the culmination of a long 30-year journey to get to a major college conference. And, you know, the word around Houston and that program is he's bringing stability, and it's something that hasn't been able to be said in several years for the Cougars.
Joseph, let's talk about the roster, and let's start at the QB position. Donovan Smith, we're pretty familiar with him, Vegas guy, played here at Gorman but not at the quarterback position, went to Tech, switched over to Houston last year so he could start full-time as the quarterback. Not a bad year for him at all. What do you expect to see out of him this upcoming year?
Well, you know, he's coming off of a shoulder surgery this past offseason. He got hurt maybe the next to last game of the year and played through it, but he didn't go through spring. He's been cleared, and he went to the Manning camp about a month ago and was airing the ball, so they feel real comfortable about that. And people that I talk to think that this is a guy that, you know, you look at the Big 12 and the quarterbacks that are in it, he's not among the higher-rated QBs, but they feel like he has the talent and the intangibles to go out and have a really successful year. He needs to work on decision-making, but, you know, he's got the size, he's got the, you know, he's got the package, the total package there. And Texas Tech, he was just a victim there of a crowded quarterback room, and he just needed to go somewhere else. And it will be interesting to see how they use that position in this offense for Houston because, you know, Willie Fritz likes to run the ball. But I think you're going to see a really good balance because they know what they have with Donovan Smith. And with 1 year here left, you know, they want to give everything they can out of him.
Give us a couple skill position players that we should really keep our eye out on.
At running back, Parker Jenkins. He was a freshman last year, really came through. I think he had about 500 yards. So, I mean, they think that they could have another big year in store for him. And then you look at wide receiver, Joseph Manjack IV, really, you know, he's a utility man type guy. You can play him outside. You can play him inside. Does a lot of things, and they need him to step up because their biggest receiver, actually their top two, transferred out. Sam Brown ended up leaving, and then Matthew Golden went down the road to Texas. So between the two skill positions, Joseph Manjack and Parker Jenkins, those are guys I think that could really be players to watch on offense.
Joseph Duarte helping us out with a Houston Cougar preview, week one of the season for the Rebels here at UNLV, August 31st. We're going to be playing a game in H-Town. So back to the change at head coach and the future of Cougar football. It's interesting, and I don't want to out the guy, but we had someone who I guess talks a lot of Houston football on local radio there. And one, it's very interesting that you said Barry Odom was in the mix because when I asked him about Barry Odom, he was like, I basically didn't even know who he was. But the other thing I thought was really intriguing that he mentioned was, and it turned out he was a Holgorsen loyalist. It turns out, I think he's wrong on this. You tell me. He kept saying that Houston doesn't have the money behind the program. They don't have the facilities to compete. Do you believe that?
No. In fact, the decade before they got into the Big 12, they invested just across the board about $300-400 million in
right.
facility. And so the quote was they had to fake it till they make it. And, you know, they were sort of trying to align themselves to get in. They've got a football stadium that's just 10 years old, and it's 40,000 seats, and it's a long way from what they previously had. They have an indoor practice facility that really is top level here in Texas, and you got to have that because of the weather and the heat. And then they're about to open next summer a $140 million football operations center. So just those three things alone, that's Power Four quality. Now, what they may have been alluding to budget-wise, the department as a whole, they don't generate the type of revenue that they need to. They're probably at about a $95 million budget right now, and that's heavily subsidized. Probably 55 or more percent of that money comes directly from the university. So they're being heavily funded and subsidized, and that's not the way to go. But they've had to do that just because they wanted to get into a power conference. So maybe that's what they were alluding to, but from the facility standpoint, absolutely not. This is a program that, if you look at it and just go back, you know, 5 to 10 years, it's night and day.
Win total for the Cougars this year, over under 4.5. Actually, 4.
Under.
Yeah, under?
Under.
Okay.
Yes. Tough schedule. You know, they got Oklahoma in week 2. You know, UNLV is a tough one. I mean, they almost lost. Well, they did lose the Rice last year, so those are the three non-conference. Then you get Utah, you go Kansas on the road. It's going to be tough. And nobody thinks that this is going to be a one-year turnaround for Willie Fritz. It's going to take some time. It's just what he inherited. But the portal helped. You know, they went out and they've done a lot of big things in recruiting so far, just looking ahead. So they might win a game here and there that no one expects them to, but this is not, in my opinion, a bowl team in year one, and it's going to take some time to get all the pieces in order.
Upside of this, in 3 years, can they fill that stadium?
What's that?
Upside, say 3 years from now, can they fill the football stadium at Houston?
Well, this is a big city, and there's a lot of stuff with the NFL, the Major League Baseball, NBA. It's tough. And as I remember in 15 when they were 10-0 and in the college football playoff hunt, they were never selling this place out. So I don't know if that's possible, but I think that ultimately, you know, if you're in a 40,000 seat, if they're not drawing 35,000 to 36,000 in the Big 12, then there's something wrong. But it's just, it hasn't been a sellout kind of program for many, many decades. So I wouldn't even know what that looks like, to be honest with you, if it were to happen in 3 years. I don't see it. You know, they've got some issues that they know they got to work through just as an athletic department. But, yeah, butts in the seat is probably, if it's not priority one, it's certainly priority two on the list right now.
Best place on Twitter would be your account. What's your Twitter account for people to follow, especially Vegas people are going to want to learn about Houston and keep track of the camp. So where do they go on Twitter to follow?
It's just my name, Joseph_Duarte, D-U-A-R-T-E. And I spent 7 days in Vegas recently. I don't know how you guys do it. It was 121 when I was there. And I went for Big 12 Media Days. I escaped the hurricane a little bit sooner, so I loved it. But I was ready to come home after about the fifth day.
Believe me, when I see you on game day, I'm going to be saying the same thing about the humidity and the heat there. So I will not be able to adjust that quickly. So, all right, Joseph, we appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
There he is, Joseph Duarte, Houston Chronicle. Yeah, Houston can be a bit oppressive. A little bit. 40,000 seats in their stadium. I would hope years in with this new coach, with Big 12 teams coming in, that they could fill it, but that city has some challenges like Vegas does. You got to win at the highest level in college football, and pretty soon we're going to have maybe another major league franchise or two, and pretty soon being like 6 years. A lot of competition. You got to win.
A lot of competition, yes.
Donovan Smith's an interesting guy. We're going to have to look into him more this month. That's it's pretty incredible that he was at Gorman. It's like, let me go to school as a QB athlete prospect, and then I wind up playing Division I quarterback at 6'5 and like 230 at a pretty good place like Houston.
Well, that just tells you how good of athletes Gorman brings in for their football program.
And that they're stacked. Yes. We're going to mention the rankings for high school football that just came out about 10 days ago. And believe it or not, Bishop Gorman has a game right around the corner. I think their opener is on August 16th.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, back here. Grab Bag, Cofield and Company. Alex White is in. First of many First of many. We'll have to squeeze in a Utah Tech preview, but that's not on the schedule right now. It is on the schedule for the team, but we're talking about opponent previews for UNLV football. We'll get that in. Later this week, we're going to do our Kansas preview. That is the better of the two Big 12 teams on UNLV's schedule. You did not get a question in after an explosive about 5:12 to 5:16 portion of the show. Griffin's like, "Cutter, Mike, did you hear what she was saying about Kelsey Plum with this Houston Cougar guy? We don't want to insult them." No, it was good. It was good. 5:12 to 5:15 was magic. But you wanted to ask about the defense, and that is a big question for the Houston Cougars because they were terrible on defense last year.
Well, I was told by somebody to keep an eye on Donovan Smith and that he would be really good and help that team. So I did that last year and watched this team and kind of rooted for him. And I found that they couldn't outscore how many points they were giving up, right? And then if you look at it.
31 and a half a game, something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
That's right. They gave up the second most in the Big 12 as well.
So you want me to fill in the blanks?
Yeah, a hot hour for me this last hour.
You want me to fill in the blanks? Because as I often do, I over-explain but don't explain anything. So last year, because we were just talking to Joseph Duarte about Houston Cougars. Last year we had a guy on, and one of the things he said was the football program wasn't funded well enough and was going to have a tough time. And I'm like, it's Tillman Fertitta, who's very much behind the program, you know, the cousin of the Fertitta brothers here, or the owner of his restaurant group and the owner of the Golden Nugget and soon to be building a casino in the middle of the strip. Now, I don't know if he's like, no money. Oftentimes when you hear about, hey, the funding's not there. No, the funding's not there for that coach. Right?
Yes.
If you remember, and I always like to make this comparison, at the end of his career, I think it was the second of last year, Jim Boeheim's like, Miami's buying their entire team. Like, Jim, you're not getting money anymore from your backers to compete with the Miamis of the world because they're not giving you the money because you're not winning.
Right.
That is, it's not just here's money, 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 money with no results. And I think for Holgorsen, I'm guessing the spigot got turned off a little bit. So this is really like off the record radio stuff, but I'm just going to throw it out there. One, we talked to Dana Holgorsen, the old coach. This isn't damaging, but we talked to him at the Final Four. He did an interview with us, and I can't remember if it was during the interview or maybe before we did it. But here's the thing. I think he just spoke openly, so he might have done it on the air, where I was like, hey, aren't you excited to, you know, play in the Big 12, you know, next year? And he kind of like rolled his eyes. He's like, well, like we got to upgrade the talent. And I was like, well, that's not the confidence that I want to hear. So that was one thing. And then Joseph just came on. He's like, the effort just was not there with recruiting. Cool. So last year we have on a dude, and I'll say his name, John Granato, and it's nothing against him, right? He, as we talked to him more and more, he was clearly a guy who really liked Dana Holgorsen. He actually said, I think he started the interview, and he's like, yeah, I just came from his house. We were talking, and I'm like, okay. And I threw out Barry Odom's name because I was thinking, like, wow, what a story this would be, at least in this neck of the woods, if Tillman Fertitta funding the Houston program stole Barry Odom from the cousin Fertitta's here who are funding the UNLV program to a certain extent. I'm like, that'll go over well in the family.
Right.
Like, I don't think they really break bread a lot as it is. But I was like, what a storyline. And he was like, Barry Odom, he's not even a candidate. I'm like, okay. And then we have Joseph Duarte's on who's like, hey, he was a runner-up.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a couple of places that wanted Barry Odom, right?
Yes.
I'm very
and Houston,
very happy.
Yes. Well, I'm glad he's staying around for at least one more year. I think he could be here multiple years, the way they're building the program. You never know. I mean, if he has another big year and then he's getting, you know, a $5-7 million offer at a good place. I don't think technically the Houston Cougar program, they're on the dance floor, like really on the dance floor as opposed to Group of Five.
Yes.
But I don't know that in that city that they can compete for. I think the build is harder there and in that conference than it is here. And to me, and I guess if his brother Brad is listening or anyone else from the program, if I'm Barry Odom and I'm leaving, I'm making sure it is 1,000,000,000%, like, it has to be right.
Yes.
I'm not going somewhere where it's like some massive rebuild. I'm not doing that again. I'm not, you know, because he was at his alma mater, Missouri, takes over, And he did okay. He had basically a 500 record, slightly under 500 in the SEC, but it didn't work out. Your second time around at a Power 4 or 3 job.
You want it to be right.
Yep.
Yes.
You got to be picky.
There's a lot of upside for UNLV here, and like you said, in this conference, especially if right now we're looking at the lines and UNLV is a 10-point favorite over SDSU, and then we were talking about
how shocking
the Wolfpacks.
How we keep referencing your days at school, and it's not like they were 40 years ago, but 10-point favorite against San Diego State.
Yeah,
that's I'm not saying it's not right, but you look at it, you're like, wow, okay, they're 17 over Reno. This game against the Cougars of Houston, they're getting 3 on the road, which I think by the game, depending on vibes from both programs, I could see that one shrink down.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to flip. What was the other number I saw that was – I was like, okay.
Yeah, that UNLV. Kansas looks right.
And that I thought that was a little big. Is it 15?
Well, we didn't – they didn't play against Jalen – Daniels, right? They played against Jason Bean last year.
Yeah.
So now if he's back healthy.
And he's better.
Yeah.
He's better. And I don't know if it's a – is it a positive or a negative that the UNLV Kansas will not be played in Lawrence? It'll be played outside of Kansas City at their soccer stadium. So while it can only hold 18,000, and I'm sure they're going to have some overflow there, I still think it's going to be a raucous crowd and wild.
Yeah.
Because here's the, and they knocked down the whole KU stadium because they're doing a full rebuild.
Well, Rebel fans still aren't traveling yet. I mean, they're behind them. They're showing up.
Yeah.
And it's getting better.
This will be an impossible ticket to get.
But yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm getting fired up. That wasn't a bad off the red, right? It wasn't a bad taking a shot at the Houston radio guy. Just that hit me because I remember being in the interview and I'm like, am I a complete ass? Now the answer generally is yeah. Yes. And I was like, this guy is like, this isn't anything that I'm hearing. Like, Odom is a non-factor in the Cougar coaching search, and program has no money? I'm like, what? There's no money for Holgorsen.
Yeah.
There's money for Willie Fritz.
A little bizarre.
It's a hell of a schedule. Oh, the other one was, I think it was the Syracuse game. The Syracuse game here is a pick against UNLV. Interesting.
Yes.
I'm sure Syracuse fans will be rolling over on their graves, and they're all very much alive, especially all the broadcasting noobs, punks. Dorks. Rivalry. I'm ready. Go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Hello. Well, last week we were talking about second half surprises, teams that can make a run. Here's some World Series value. I mentioned, this is not earth shattering, but I mentioned the Astros, who had another good weekend, and the Braves. I trust the Braves organization, but I mean, come on. Now what happened injury-wise?
I know. I was with you on the Braves, too. I really thought that they could turn it around. Now they've lost 2 people. Well, they just put Max Fried on the 15-day IL and then Albies.
Ozzie Albies. They're all-star second baseman. Not having a great year, but he's got, what is it, a broken wrist, broken hand? He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Let me show you this. The OPS from last year to this year with their main players is crazy. I think Ozuna is the only one that is better than last year. And then
that's crazy.
Albies is pretty close. So losing him does really hurt them. I mean, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy.
Well, as everyone knows, I'm very much glass overflowing and positive all the time. I was looking for bounce back upside from a lot of these guys in the second half.
Yeah.
I think it can still happen, but Albies is a big loss. Nacho. Anyone know Nacho? Nacho Alvarez is up. He is, I think his resume has 149 ABs at AAA. He started at AA. This year he's around, 280. 7 homers, about 22 steals. So they must be high on him if they're bringing him up and putting him basically right in the lineup. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But
we've
for Braves
seen a lot
fans,
of guys do well.
Getting moved up. So are you suggesting don't fade the Braves? Sneaky value. Start what?
I don't know. I'm not going there yet.
Wow. I feel like today has been a day of distrust building. Let's not be like that. We're not cornering you to give opinions. We're going to bust your chops.
man.
I mean, I don't think we're going to put out a video screaming that you were getting on multiple aces. Get off this. But I don't control everything. We have a vast social media. Our digital department is salivating. There's someone out. Who's that? I don't even know that person works here. They're outside the window looking at Alex, like, just rubbing their hands. Not that way. I mean, like, they're okay. This could be dangerous tonight on social media. All right, good job, Griffin. Excellent job with Alex today. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Back in studio, Cofield and Company. Check out our new Instagram page. Just search ESPN Los